This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I've always said this about Knick games. When Walt Clyde Frazier's doing the game, just listen carefully, because it'll supply you a gem here and there. Something amazing, something funny. Something
hacking and wacky.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens. So on Saturday night, they're playing the Washington Wizards, and they're showing an award winner for an award named after the great Willis Reed. So Walt talks a little bit about Willis Reed, puts him over, of course, makes a fine joke about how Willis Reed always thought Patrick Ewing was the greatest Knick of all time, and Patrick Ewing agreed with him. Ha, ha, ha. But then Walt Clyde Frazier starts talking about how Willis Reed loved to hunt deer and told a quick story about how Willis Reed always wanted Clyde to come with him to hunt deer. Take a listen.
One thing I never did was the hunting, you know, Mike. He was a great hunter, fisherman. He would go to Alaska where they drop you off in a remote area and come back and pick you up in a week, 2 weeks.
And he loved it.
Yeah, yeah, with a bow and arrow. So he asked me one day, Clyde, you want to go deer hunting? I go, yeah, D-E-A-R.
Mike Breen didn't know what to do. At first when he said it, I was like, what the hell does he mean? I was like, oh, I get it now.
Come here, deer.
Hello, deer. Yeah, Walt's a gem. He really is, so... I want to share that with you. Anytime you hear Walt Clyde Frazier say something funny, certainly let us know, because we'd love to share it with the audience, because I don't know how much longer he's going to call Knick games. He's been doing it for a long time, and quite frankly, I think he's one of the best. I really do. His humor, the rhyming, which he's never lost a step on, he just brings sheer entertainment to Knick games.
The hapless Nets.
Why?
Why is that necessary?
Because that is entertaining every time we hear it.
I got a chuckle out of it.
The hacking and whacking thing is kind of fun. Or the posted and posted.
Hacking and whacking.
Yeah.
How about this about Saquon?
Turncoat.
Yeah, that's right. Turncoat. I love Walt Clyde Frazier. And good win by the Knicks. It's always tricky to beat those tough Washington Wizards.
Shut up.
Not an easy team to beat. And the Knicks were at least able to get the job done.
They could have lost to the Wizards. They did not.
That's true. They almost blew a 30-point lead. By the way, the Mets are playing their final spring training game of the year. They're doing it against the Yankees, the one time the Mets and Yankees play in spring training. Mm-hmm. And for the Yankees, I, if I'm not mistaken, they're heading to Miami after this game. So they're done with spring training, too. They're closed down George M. Steinbrenner Field. They're going to go to Miami. They're going to play an exhibition game at Lone Depot Park before they head back to New York. So spring training essentially ends today. And the Mets were losing by 3 runs in the bottom of the 9th inning. And Brandon Nimmo, who was still in the game, because, why not? This is the last time they're playing until Thursday, hit a game-tying 3-run home run.
Will they play extras?
No.
All right, good.
No. No, the game will literally end in a tie.
There's one more out that they have to get.
I can only imagine the Mets' reaction to Nimmo hitting a game-tying home run. Like, ah, crap.
There it is.
Yeah, Mendy gave the thumbs to Boone, which is like, can we please leave?
Yes.
So, good news. The Mets and the Yankees finished in a tie. Isn't that perfect?
That'll settle things.
That'll settle things.
See you in May.
We will. Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Chris is calling from East Hanover. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Always a pleasure. I wanted to speak about the Giants, but if you don't mind, I just want to bring up something about the Johnnies.
Yeah.
Real quick. So my son's an AAU basketball player. You know, we have him even, you know, he's been playing basketball. He's a started point guard as a freshman at high school. And when I tell you, I believe somebody else said it, when you get in your head and you really emotionally are not on the court because of multiple reasons, it affects you more than you could really understand. I think, Tiki, you probably know this from being an athlete.
No doubt.
You know, we actually have him speak to a coach. I don't call him a therapist, but it is a coach to help him not get in his head and not to do things. And I just think the way Rick saw it was this kid not playing the style we expect him to play or what I expect him to play. And he was being selfish, and at the end of the day, he wasn't going to put him out there. Though, I agree with the other caller, you got to live and die by your best player.
Especially because when you get to that point, you might as well, because he helped get you there.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Look at there was moments that we've all watched basketball. I mean, the miracle 1 minute that Jay Will had when he was playing horribly for Jay. You know, those things absolutely can happen and might happen, and you don't know unless you put him out there. But regarding the Giants real quick, so I'm all for Jameis. But, you know, Ian, to Evan, I want to take to your one point. Mallett would never have given – they never would have ran it back if they weren't getting 2 years, right? So Daves and Shane got to now say, hey, we go draft one of these two quarterbacks and they fail, we set this organization back 10 years and we're fired. But what I believe they're doing is, I don't think they love either one, and I don't think either one is going to make it to them. I think they're both going to go 1-2, is get a veteran, get maybe even probably another one, and then get Travis or get Abdul, and then they are going to still pick up a quarterback, and it could be in the third round, and it could be the kid from Louisville, or it could be Jalen Milroe. And then I think even if they go 7-9 or, you know, 500 this year, I think they're taking another quarterback next year.
Right. I think you can't ever, as long as you don't have, I appreciate your call, Chris, if you don't have a bona fide starter, guy, unquestioned, you don't have Pat Mahomes, you don't have Josh Allen, whoever it may be, even if it's not a superstar, Baker Mayfield, if you don't have that guy, you are always trying to find the next in line.
Mm.
So that could be the right plan. And again, I don't think they need to be 10-7. I think they need to show progress and have a plan. And you feel good about the direction
that's the key
that they're going.
John Mara said, I can't be in this mood next season.
Right.
All right. So this afternoon,
before you say anything, Evan Roberts' brain has been reporting for 2 months.
Here we go.
That the Yankees are getting Nolan Arenado before opening day. So, can you finally reveal the news that I have been telling you guys for months? Go ahead, just say it.
Right now, Oswaldo Cabrera still started at third base for the Yankees.
So, you didn't break the glass for Arenado?
No, here's broken glass theme of the day. There is something called the ProMat Conference. It's like a technology conference or whatever. Their guest speaker today is Deion Sanders.
Mm.
Multiple reports coming out of people at this conference with a big picture of Deion sitting at this stage has said that in the Q&A, Deion was asked today where he thinks Shador Sanders will be drafted in the 2025 NFL draft. His quote, let's hope it's New York.
How about that? Why are you so naive to think he meant the Giants?
You know what? Maybe it's just about the city. Maybe. Maybe.
I mean, the Jets are at 7. We've thrown these scenarios where he could fall.
That's interesting.
Why would Deion say that? Other than that's just how he honestly feels.
Because I think he wants New York. He wants the stage for his son. And if his son succeeds, then he'll be legendary. And New York is the place to be. But I think also he knows that Cam Ward is going number one.
Yeah.
And
So it's Cleveland, New Cleveland York, or New elsewhere, York. Right?
Or elsewhere.
Right.
Or New York.
Yeah, or New York.
Or
again.
New York, right.
Yeah.
It's seven. So I don't, maybe he's just trying to say something like, Cleveland, don't even think about it.
Yeah, so.
I doubt it, but you never know.
I thought that too, because.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
If you go back to January when we first started really having these discussions because we knew where the Giants were picking, I've theorized to you guys that not only has my brain been reporting Arenado to the Yankees, my brain is reporting that Shedeur Sanders will find his way and eventually be a New York Giant. And I remember I cited 21 years since Eli,
right.
21 years before that was John Elway. It just feels like we're due for that quarterback to kind of force his way to a destination. We are sitting here in late March. That has not happened yet. Like, there has been no indication, whether it's behind the scenes or publicly, that Shedeur Sanders or Deion or anybody in his family is trying to coerce anybody to him getting to the Giants at three. So I do wonder, was today, March 24th, at whatever conference he's at, the first tiny example of that campaign?
Yeah, now
of trying to get his son where they want to be.
With that being said, this is not Deion standing up there unprompted asking or telling this audience this. He's asked a direct question. He responds in a way that people would be interested.
Well, here's the key. All right,
where's this conference at?
I have to look that up.
Here's the other key I want you to find. Eventually, I'm not sure when, there has to be audio of Deion saying it. May not be the greatest audio, but there will be. And the reason that's very, very important to find and then eventually play is tone and context matters.
Right. Was he joking?
Right.
Or was he dead-ass serious?
Right now, all we have is, let's hope it's New York in black and white. I'm assuming with camera phones around, eventually there will be some kind of sound of Deion saying this. Yeah. And as soon as you have it, we'll listen to it. And then we'll be able to kind of evaluate.
The first Twitter user that put out the picture of Deion said that said he was scrambling to get his phone so quick because he wasn't expecting that question to come out. And that's how he got the picture.
Really?
Yeah.
Late.
But he didn't get the audio.
He didn't get the audio. That's but it was like he was so panicked because you couldn't believe the quote.
Because it could have been... Let's hope New York.
And then he may have started talking about the Jets. Who knows?
Important to note, too, the Archie Eli stuff happened just days before the draft. So it's still we're still a little ahead of the curve for DeAndre.
To ask you that. So,
but didn't everybody know?
I thought so.
According to this, it happened 4 days before the draft. It was the first time we heard that definitively from Archie.
Well, forget definitively. That's not the point.
Yeah.
Like, think about our radio station. We have a segment we like called WFN Flashback. Go back into the archives of 2004 and listen. I would guarantee this was a topic of discussion for months. Not based on our hope, but based on real rumor.
Right. Because I don't remember what San Diego then, the Chargers, what their reputation was. But when it started to get closer to the draft, as Sean was talking about, I do remember hearing Eli doesn't want to go to San Diego.
Right.
Eli doesn't want to go to San Diego.
But when did that behind the scenes start?
Again, I wasn't paying attention because I was playing. So
that's right.
I don't know. But
you weren't one of us at that point.
No. I mean, again, back then, you didn't have leaks that just popped up on your phone.
Right.
Oh, well, there's speculation that Eli Manning or whatever, Archie Manning doesn't want his son to play in San Diego. Like, you'd see that now.
Yeah.
Like, we saw that with Deion.
Very different.
Rumors are Deion Sanders doesn't want his kid to play in Cleveland. We saw that a month ago.
But it does make sense that if Deion Sanders and Shador, anybody in his family is going to start that campaign that I kind of predicted would happen, that you don't do it right away. You can wait a little bit. Mm-hmm. And as we get closer to the draft is exactly 1 month from today. We're starting to get more clarity on the Brown quarterback situation. They're trying to sign Russell Wilson. The Giant quarterback situation. We have clarity on the Jet quarterback situation. This would be the moment where you start to make your move. So it could be your first public declaration that Deion's going to try to get his son to New York.
Let me throw out a conspiracy theory. I've said all along, I think Deion, the Shador Sanders, everybody in the family, they want Shador to go number one overall.
Yeah.
That's important.
That's ultimately what he cares more about. I agree with you.
So the timing of him saying that today is it's Cam Ward's pro day. Where are Joe Shane and Brian Daboll right now?
Watching Cam Ward.
Okay, so wouldn't it be... shrewd to say something like that and sort of swing the headline.
Move up to number one.
Right.
And take my kid.
Yeah, I know you're talking to Cam today, but hopefully it's New York. They're on social media. They're locked in. They know what's going on. They're very plugged in on what's happening. I think there's always chess being played.
Oh, yeah.
With them.
I'll give you another. You
with Deion and the crew.
Can I one up you with another conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought you'd have this one because it's really stupid.
So. Well, you know. I don't even know if that was even passive aggressive. That was just calling me stupid.
Came out the wrong way. I'm so sorry.
I'd like to think creative or deep thinker.
This one's creative. This one's so creative. As I say it, write it down. It's the open of the Lou Gowher.
Yeah, I was literally just writing down Lou Gowher open.
Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Deion Sanders' master plan is to eventually coach the New York Giants. So he gets Shador there. Daboll is on the hot seat. And if John Mara doesn't feel good about his feelings, he said, hey, I'm not in a good mood. The easy pivot to help develop Shador Sanders would be his dad.
Yeah, but is he going to develop his son? Or is he going to hire Pat Shurmur?
Pat Shurmur comes back.
To come back to be the offensive coordinator.
Well, first of all, let's start over. Is who going to do what? Like, Pat Shurmur coming back
I'm
as an OC.
Hold on, I'm writing all this down for
you. Write it down.
Asking you is back. Deion Sanders, who is a Hall of Fame defensive back, grooming his kid.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be Pat Shurmur, who he hires as his offensive coordinator?
Well, I think he would bring back Pat Shurmur, which is not a big deal. Bringing back an old head coach who's failed as a coordinator, something he's good at, there's no issue with that. And secondly, Shador got kind of groomed by Deion since he was a kid. Hmm. So, like, yeah, Pat Shurmur's done it in college, but when you think about high school and you think about middle school, it's his dad. If anyone's going to get the most out of him, that's, by the way, going to be a natural rumor no matter where he ends up. Now, look, he ends up with a... Yes. Because Deion's a great college coach. Of course it's going to be a natural rumor. No matter where he goes. Forget the Giants for a second. He ends up in Tennessee.
He's a very good college coach.
Yeah.
I would say great.
Okay. All right. I'll edit that. He's a very... quality college coach who's already been linked to NFL jobs. You don't think that part of the quote-unquote baggage of Shedeur Sanders, not fair at all, by the way, is that naturally rumors of Deion coming to the pros to coach him will follow?
See, now I think you're throwing hyperbole out there. He was linked to a job, and that was the Dallas Cowboys.
Only one job so far.
Only one job so far. And he outright said no.
I want to make a fun bet with you. I do not think Deion Sanders will ever coach the New York Giants. I want to make that clear. Mm. But we are going to do a radio show after the Giants end up with Shedeur, which I have predicted for months, and I stand by that. We're going to do a show in mid-October when the Giants are struggling, and it's not going to be my fault, mm-hmm. where everyone's going to want to talk about Deion Sanders replacing Brian Daboll as head coach. Doesn't mean John will do it. Doesn't mean he should do it. But you know as well as I do that the rumors will follow. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to entertain it because I don't think it's real.
Will you yell at the caller?
No.
Will you threaten to fight the caller?
It's not my fault.
Am I wrong, Sean?
I hate to admittedly say you're not wrong. Here's the problem, though. You know, if it's Jameis losing those games in October, we're not going to take those calls.
Shedeur's on the Giants.
I think it's only if Shedeur is on the Giants, they're losing, and Shedeur himself is also struggling, then fans will point to get his dad in here to help him.
I do agree. I don't think that fans, as irrational as we can be, are going to scream for Daboll's head until we see him get his hands on Shedeur Sanders.
I just wonder if that time ever arises. Do we think that Deion Sanders is the right coach to fix the Giants? That I can't. I have no idea.
Honestly, I'm very mixed about it. I don't want to denounce Deion as an NFL head coach out of hand because he's playing the game.
Right.
He's an all-time great player. He's done a good job in college. I think he probably would do a good job. I do. Like, well, what evidence do I have that he wouldn't?
No, you're right. And there's been a handful of former players that are actually doing really good jobs in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that he wouldn't be. I don't know. I just feel like the distraction. Talk about the drama.
What's the distraction, though? The fact that he says what's on his mind?
Him.
Yeah.
No, not what's on his mind. You know, he has a film crew follows him around.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he documents every moment of his professional life.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of his personal life, too.
Right.
And that's distracting. You know what I mean? It takes over. It's like the Kardashians. You know what I mean? Like, they document every part of their personal and professional lives, and then they sell it to all us who consumes it in some capacity or another.
So you don't think John Mara would go for that?
It just doesn't feel giant.
I mean, it went for Hard Knocks.
Mm, yeah, and we know where that went.
It didn't go well. Let's go to CJ calling from Brooklyn. How are you, CJ?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're good.
Good.
Pretty good. No, I just wanted to echo kind of a previous caller's point. Speaking of the Giants and then also on the Giants real quick.
Yeah.
I think Pitino got the juice out of this, this coaching job, all the squeeze he could in terms of, getting these guys to this point. I think maybe another win with a different kind of seating might have happened. But I think in the end, not having three-point shooting catches up to you in the NCAA tournament. And I think that's, one of their downfalls. I think it was, a matchup situation where Calipari, really, took advantage with his roster. But I would also argue that next year, if Pitino sticks around, he will definitely have these guys going on another level. I think what he needs is another blue chip New York City prospect.
And he will.
He needs a shooter. He needs a knockdown shooter.
Yes.
At least one.
Yeah.
You're right. You need more than one.
And he will. Right. Like, I think a part of why there's a confidence in St. John. So I mentioned this to you on Friday. I have this belief with my teams, with teams I don't root for. I've said this a lot. When you get there, you better take advantage because you never know if you're going to be back. Mm-hmm. I warned that about Aaron Judge last year. Certainly as a Met fan, I've said that. What feels different about this situation, the more I've given it thought, is that it's college sports.
Right.
And the turnover is crazy. And Rick Pitino has proven he knows what he's doing. And so while they may never win a national championship, they may never get to a Final Four, I feel confident that for the next half a decade, St. John's will be a tournament team just about every year, mm-hmm. and they'll probably have a run here and there.
Right.
Because he knows what he's doing.
He's a good coach.
He's a damn good coach. Let's go to John in Huntington. Hey, John.
How we doing, fellas? 45-year-old Giant fan, longtime listener with you guys as well.
Appreciate it.
Two things quick about the Giants quarterback situation. One, I keep on hearing everyone blaming Shane and Daboll this was started by John Mara when they got the job, saying, Daniel Jones is your guy. You're going to take Daniel Jones. We're going to make up for what we did to him. And no questions asked, you have to deal with him. So they did that for 3 years, and now they're on the hot seat because John Mara said, you have to deal with this guy. So why don't they get a reprieve after taking them to the playoffs for the first time?
John, I don't know. So I'm going to ask the question. I'll ask it to you, and I'll ask it to all the Giant fans I'm surrounded by, including the Giant legend. Did John Mara really say that? Did all that happen the way you described it?
He did. No, he. If you go back, Evan, and he said it. We ruined this kid. He said, we ruined this kid. We did wrong by this kid. We're going to make it up to him. We're going to give him a chance. And he said that. It's Kiki, back me up on this because you heard it. I know you did.
But does that mean you have to bring them back? Is that the same as you have to bring him back?
The decision was... When Daniel Jones had a really good 2022 season, the Giants had a choice. Sign him to a long-term contract or let him go into free agency. They should have let him go into free agency with the idea that he was going to come back, right? He was going to get some offer. It would not have been $40 million a year.
Right.
I promise you that. And the Giants easily could have matched it. It would have been a two-year deal without the complications that they ultimately had in the four-year deal that they gave him because of the dead money. And he would have gotten a chance to prove himself again. The problem with Daniel Jones, and I said this even after he signed that four-year deal, and Evan, you heard me say this multiple times, it's like every other year, he's had to prove it. Like, prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. We don't like you with this coach. All right, prove it with this coach. We don't like you with this coach. Prove it again. You got hurt. Prove that you can come back. You had a really good season, and Dave's is coach of the year. You prove it again before we give you a contract. Like, it's always been prove it.
Yeah.
And so they went away from making him prove it, and it cost them in a sense. And then he gets hurt, and we all know the rest of the story. So there was really only one mistake. I don't blame the John Mara or anyone in that organization for signing Daniel Jones. The mistake was not letting him go in the free agency.
Yeah.
Because he hadn't played well enough for a continuous enough time to earn a four-year contract with $80 million guaranteed. He just didn't.
Yeah. That's the big mistake. Dare him to go into free agency.
Well, no, not dare him. Let him go into free agency and let the market tell you how much he's worth.
Well, dare him to get more than what he was asking for and what you ultimately gave him.
Yes.
Because the truth is, like you said, he's probably not getting that. When we come back, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. And how alarmed should we be about something Francisco Lindor said over the weekend about Luis Angel Acuna? If you've missed any of our show on this fine Monday, you can always hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app. Reacting to the Giants quarterback room featuring a new person in Jameis Winston, Rick Pitino, not putting R.J. Lewis on blast, but sort of putting R.J. Lewis on blast, and a lot of other discussions over the last 2.5 hours. So you can just rewind on the Odyssey app. But Francisco Lindor, the de facto captain of the New York Mets, said something about Luis Angel Acuna. I'm not going to offer you any opinion yet. I want to read it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell me if this offers some concerns to you.
Okay.
Luis Angel Acuna, obviously, last year in AAA, did not put up good numbers. He got called up, not because he earned it, but because they needed to call him up. Francisco Lindor got hurt. They needed the body. He came up. He played absolutely fantastically. This year in spring training, up until the last couple of days, had done very little. And there was an opportunity in front of him because Jeff McNeil got hurt. And so Acuna, with a big spring training, could have potentially made the team as the starting second baseman. I would tell you right now, while he's penciled in to make the team at the moment, I don't think he will. I think the Mets are going to acquire a right-handed bat off the bench in the next few days, whether it's Brandon Drury or it's Garrett Hampson or somebody on that level. If I had to predict you right now, I don't think Acuna is going to make the team. This is what Francisco Lindor said about Acuna's struggles in spring training and his struggles in the minor leagues. Quote, I think he plays bored in spring training. If the lights come on, then he's good. Last year in the minors, he was bored probably. He doesn't get amped up for it. It's rare when you see elite big leaguers or good big leaguers dominate the minor leagues. They just get bored. And when they eventually figure it out, they say, I guess I have to do a little bit more to get called up. And then they get called up. It wakes them up. He acts like he doesn't care, Lindor said. And when you act like you don't care, yeah, you're bored. He's not putting everything he's got into it. It doesn't feel like he's being challenged.
Wow. That's damning.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, tone would matter here, But I also think that the content is pretty straightforward. He's either trying to send a message to Luis Angel Acuña or explain to us why he's not going to make the team. And he's right. I mean, sometimes it feels easy for you, but if it feels easy, then go dominate even more.
Right.
That would be my thought process if I was in Luis Angel Acuña's space. Right. This is, I know I'm better than being a minor leaguer. I did well when I was in the majors. I'm going to prove that I don't belong anywhere but in the major leagues. So I think Francisco Lindor is not trying to be vicious. I think he's trying to lead this kid. Like, tell him what's off with
him. Yeah, yeah.
Like, why you might not make this team, kid, is because you're acting like it doesn't matter.
And
it always has to matter.
Of course it matters, because in this situation right now, Jeff McNeil got hurt, and it was, in my opinion, it was an open competition. Luis Angel Acuña, to most Met fans, was the people's choice because of the way he played for 2 weeks, and Brett Beatty was the other option. Brett Beatty put together the best spring training of any player in spring training.
Yeah.
And Luis Angel Acuña did not. Now, recently, after these comments became public, for 2 days, Acuña looks great.
Of course.
So you wonder if Acuña heard it and was like, oh, crap.
Sometimes it's good to be called out.
But why? Forget the minor leagues. Like, I can't believe I'm saying that, but forget the minor leagues. In spring training, in big league camp, I don't care if it's Port St. Lucie or wherever it is, you have an opportunity in front of you.
Mm.
If you perform, if you care, if you try.
Right, effort.
Effort. That's what Lindor said, and apparently the captain of the New York Mets doesn't think he tried when he had an opportunity in front of him to maybe be the opening day second baseman.
Well, I mean,
I'm a little concerned.
You could be a little. From a Met standpoint, you shouldn't be, because Brett Beatty, as you mentioned, had an unbelievable spring, and he looks like he can be pretty good as a second baseman.
I'm concerned about Acuña, not about the Mets. Yes.
Right. So as a Met, Met fan, it's probably not as worrisome. From a what about Luis Angel Acuña? You probably should be, because there was a void. There was nobody claiming second base. And it was his for the taking.
He blew it.
And he blew it.
That's how I look at it. He blew the opportunity. So
I guess that sucks for him. But ultimately, as a Met fan, you want the best option there. And if it's Brett Beatty, it's Brett Beatty. And damn Luis Angel Acuña.
Now,
right? It's okay. Yeah, spend your time in the minors. We'll call you up when we need you, type of thing.
If Beatty hits, it's no big deal. No problem. Now, before I get your response, Tommy, because you've been a big Luis Angel Acuña guy, and I have to give him credit. I could be remembering wrong, but I don't know if he'll correct me. I think when we debated Beatty and Acuña, and I cited Acuña's minor league struggles, I think Loogie said it's possible he was bored in AAA last year. Mm. Did you say that or not really?
That definitely sounds like something I would say.
You didn't say it!
And I don't think how you could be any more relatable by saying you're bored by spring training, because we're all bored by spring training.
Nah,
so
but
I
he's
think,
battling for a job, Tommy.
I understand that.
It's not you. It's not me. He's battling for a job.
No, I get why. You're right, Tommy. I get why you'd be bored. It's like redundant, same thing for a month. And it's just like, all right, what are we doing?
He knows he has the goods.
Right.
Let me ask you this.
I know I'm good. What's the conversation?
Because you said it kind of sarcastically, but in those 2 weeks, he looked like a stud. He looked like he could play when the lights were bright. That was not an easy position to come on a team that's, you know, in the mix there at the end of the year. And to me, he played great. Beatty, he's having a big spring. We've seen that with other players where they have a big spring and then never heard from ever again. Right. When the lights were bright, he performed. That's all I care about.
Do you remember Timo Perez?
Sure do.
Okay. When the lights were bright for a while, till he didn't run in the World Series,
mm-hmm.
he was great. He could have been the NLCS MVP in 2000 if it wasn't for Mike Hampton. Mm-hmm. Small sample sizes don't prove anything.
Right, but I've seen Acuña perform at the major league level. I have not with Beatty yet. So
forget
to me,
Beatty. Forget Beatty. He's not even in this conversation.
Okay, but to me,
Acuña, he can't be bored in spring training, bro.
If he comes out in the first, second, third week here of the season, the first month, let's just say, and he's great, who cares? He won the job.
He's not going to make the team. He didn't win the job. No, you're wrong.
No, he can win the job on the big stage. In the big leagues,
Tommy, I could be wrong because it's relying on the Mets acquiring a bat.
He's not, in my opinion, I don't think he's making the team.
I thought all along he's making the team. So
well, the Mets are trying to make him not make the team. Here's a spoiler alert for you. They're trying.
Why? Because you think of what Francisco Lindor observed and brought to everyone's attention?
I think the Mets know that. That's number one. Number two, I think they want him to play every day and develop. He's not going to do that if he makes the team as a bench player. And I think they view a guy like Garrett Hampson or whoever else as just better for that role. Like, the Mets are going to try in the next 2 days to make sure this guy doesn't make the team. So walk me through this. When he goes to AAA and he's bored again, why would he ever get a call-up? Why?
Oh.
He only got a call-up last year because a guy got hurt.
Brett Beatty underperformed.
Bingo.
Okay. I'll walk you through another one. There's a guy named Ronnie Mauricio who's busting his ass to come back from a torn ACL.
True.
If he performs in the minor leagues, guess who's jumping over Luis Angel Acuna? I'm not done yet. Jet Williams had an injury-prone year last year. I don't think he's bored by the minor leagues. If he hits in Double A, guess who's jumping over Luis Angel Acuna? He doesn't have a God-given right to being in the major leagues.
No, you're right.
He doesn't have it.
You're right.
He can't be bored by spring training. He can't be bored by Triple A. And I appreciate Lindor calling him out for this garbage because, I'm sorry, 2 weeks in September is not enough for this guy to be bored through spring training.
No, you're right. I mean, I don't disagree with you, but this is the predicament he put himself in. But again, from the Mets' standpoint, they feel like they're okay.
I agree. He's going to be lost in the shuffle.
And it's okay. So he gets lost in the shuffle. It happens to a lot of prospects.
It's just frustrating to see it this way. By the way, to be fair to Acuna, he was asked about these accusations from Lindor, and here was his response through an interpreter. I think in the major leagues, there's a certain level of adrenaline and energy that just isn't there in the minor leagues.
Oh, so he confirmed.
He confirmed.
It's accurate. But it's accurate, though.
But that doesn't make it okay. Because the concern is not okay at all.
Well, okay, but I'm sure there are players in the college level that are just great. They're born great. And they're bored by some things. Or they're bored by training camp. And then when the bright lights are on in the NFL, right, they're great. And nobody, who cares if they're bored? As long as they perform on Sundays, nobody cares. If Acuna comes to the big leagues, he's great. Now, your point in that Jet could pass him or Mauricio could pass him, yeah, then that's on him and he has to do some soul searching and then he has to look the captain in the eye and go, you know what? I was humbled. I got a kick in the ass. I mean, his brother is awesome. There's probably a bloodline thing there where he thinks, you know what? My brother's great. I'm great.
You got to work hard. I don't care how much God-given talent you have. You got to bust your ass, bro.
But being bored doesn't mean you don't work hard.
What does it mean?
Bored by the spring training and taking a bus in the minor leagues. It could just be that it doesn't give you the juices flowing.
Just admit you're disappointed in this. You should be. It's okay.
I'm not disappointed.
You're not giving up on him to say, hey, I'm disappointed.
I would be disappointed if he doesn't ever, you don't see his face again. That's when you're
going to. He's going to be up there.
Why?
At some point.
What if he hits 215?
Injury, whatever.
What if he hits 215 in the minors? There's a chance we never see him. You don't know that. I hope that we do. I hope this is a lesson for him. And the early returns are that it is, because the last couple of days of spring training, he's played a lot better. I think he walked twice today, which is double the total of his entire spring training. So it's definitely a good sign that the message got to him, and that's why Lindor is such a great leader.
Right.
But it's concerning. Because there was an opportunity for him. And you're right, Teak. Brett Beatty could just take this job and run away with it.
I mean, he's been given every opportunity. No matter what you feel about Brett Beatty, every chance that the Mets get to put him in position to try to be successful, they do it.
And you know why he's gotten so many opportunities? Because he's hit a AAA, and I would assume he wasn't bored by it because he was producing. Like, you've got to produce to eventually get that shot. I hope he learns. I think the early returns are that he does. But I appreciate Lindor. I think this is another example of why he's such a great leader, because these are really blunt comments.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Aaron Judge is going to say stuff like that, right, Sean? Am I right?
Aaron Judge would not say stuff like that.
By the way, so today the Mets played the Yankees. It was the final spring training game that the New York Mets played before they head over to Houston, and they'll open up the season on Thursday. The Yankees have one more exhibition game. So today was Mets-Yankees, which is kind of cool. They don't play a lot in spring training, but they played today. And the Mets put out basically their opening day lineup, and that included Juan Soto. So Juan Soto saw Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone made a joke. You don't look good in that jersey, all that kind of stuff. Apparently, a lot of Yankee fans kind of infiltrated Clover Park in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and I'm hearing reports that Juan Soto was heavily booed in his own ballpark in this final spring training game. Now, we do have evidence to either prove it or disprove it. So, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of SNY, here was the response to Juan Soto when he was introduced at a Mets home spring training game.
Juan Soto.
That sounded like 73.
What was that kid chanting?
You're going to regret this.
You're going to regret this.
Yankee fans are over it, though.
Boy, sounds like it. Tough to be the big brother when you can't even get your own home team fans in your own park, Loogie.
You want to respond to that?
Yes, I would. There was a stat that came up here the other day. Just give me 1 second here from Mike Puma.
Yeah.
And this will show that things are great. The Mets have established a franchise spring training attendance record with 106,000 plus this year.
Yeah.
So they've drawn plenty of Met fans.
What about today? What about the game was in Port St. Lucie at Clover Park?
They've drawn plenty of baseball fans.
Yeah.
I would say that was the minority of fans that wasn't the majority. I think that represented the vocal minority, little brother section. We have a little brother section there now at spring training at Port St. Lucie.
Why didn't the majority drown them out then?
It was hot dog day, and they were getting hot dogs.
Oh, got it. That was quick on your feet. I see, Luigi.
There's also a non-fighting Belugi twist to this. Fellow Yankee fans, grow up. The guy just carried us to our first World Series appearance since 2009.
Right.
Can we give the guy a little freaking appreciation for the season we just experienced?
Good job not condoning that. Good job.
Because it's stupid.
We are going to be in the building on that Friday night in May when Juan Soto and the New York Mets take on the New York Yankees. He will be booed incredibly loud.
Not by me.
You're really not going to boo him?
Again. He left the New York Yankees because the Mets paid him more money.
Why do you want the Yankees to boo?
I don't want them to do anything. I personally don't care what they do. I just know.
Then why are you saying? Why are you incredulous that they're not going to boo him?
Okay, I'll tell you why I'm incredulous. So I think the Mets were in a very similar situation 25 years ago. They acquired a guy named Mike Hampton for the 2000 season, and he was great. Like, I don't think the Mets win the pennant without Mike Hampton. He was the National League Championship Series MVP. Okay. One great year, gets to the World Series, it doesn't work out, as obviously you guys know. And then as a free agent, Mike Hampton left the Mets to sign with the Colorado Rockies. We booed the crap out of him for years when he came back. So I know it's not exactly the same, but the leading us to a World Series, like, all that's accurate. And I booed him.
Look.
So I'm just being fair. I always want to be fair with this. If we all booed Mike Hampton, why wouldn't you boo Juan Soto?
Because I was just going to say, if Juan Soto left the Yankees for same to less money and told me the reason he was leaving is for school districts, maybe I'd boo him.
That's not true, though. The Wilpons didn't offer as much money.
Okay, but he says whatever. My point is, we know why Juan Soto left, and also...
Well, hold on. This is being twisted, and I don't appreciate that. Mike Hampton went to Colorado for more money, and then he said the school system was better. Okay, all facts. Juan Soto left the Yankees for more money, and then...
Come on. Seriously?
He left for more money, but said he went for the school system. Like, that. Where is the fact not true? He left for more money, but he claimed the school system.
Okay.
Juan Soto...
I seriously doubt that, but whatever.
You don't think he left the Mets for more money?
I don't think he left the school system because the school system.
I never said he did. I said that's what he claimed.
That's what he said.
Those are very two different things. I said Mike Hampton left the Mets to take more money. Agreed. He claimed it was the school system. That's just what he claimed. Okay. Juan Soto left the Yankees for more money and has claimed a million different things like, I don't know if the Yankees are going to be good in 9 years. So I would actually argue the reasons and the answers are the same.
No, we've heard 30 different reasons from Soto, which takes us back to the main reason, which is money.
Right.
Look, you Met fans, you want to do what you want to do with Mike Hampton. To me, I am, as every year that passes with teams losing this town, ever more appreciative of the 2024 Yankees, and they would not have gotten there without Juan Soto carrying them. He chose to go. That sucks. That's fine. We'll root against
him. Will you cheer him?
I don't know that I'll cheer him, but I'm certainly not going to boo him.
So you're going to just sit there very quietly?
It is what it is. Maybe I'll cheer. You have to ask me when I get in there, but I know I'm not booing him because I'm going to forever be indebted to the year I got out of Juan Soto and taking us to that World Series. And it wasn't like he was the main reason why.
Would you agree, especially based on that audio we played and certainly talking to Yankee fans, you will be in the vast minority night at Yankee Stadium?
Those are displaced New Yorkers that are now in Florida permanently.
That makes them more likely to boo.
They don't get to do it regularly, and so got their one chance. They took it out on Juan Soto.
You think Soto was more likely to get booed in Port St. Lucie than Yankee Stadium in May?
Yep,
you're crazy.
100%.
He might be right. I got to think the Yankee fans up here are level-headed more than the fans down there, just tuned up at spring training, looking at making
noise. MVP on your team. If you're the Yankees, you didn't lose Aaron Judge. You lost Juan Soto.
I know,
he's a great player, but he was here for 8 months.
I know, but you're still speaking rationally, but Yankee fans are going to boo him. They just booed him in Port St. Lucie for a game that doesn't count.
But those aren't the fans that are going to be in Yankee Stadium.
Oh, come on. The Florida fans are more rigid than the Yankee fans?
Apparently.
Nah, it is the sixth borough, dude.
Nah, Soto's going to get booed historically at Yankee Stadium on that Friday night.
They're going to do a roll call for him.
No, they're not.
1,000%. By the way, I hate to give them, you know, good advice.
You guys, all three of you on
completely. It's a good way to throw the Met fan off because you think they're going to boo, so we could throw that in your face. Do a roll call, therefore it shuts us up.
I agree with him.
Doesn't mean there won't be boos. There will be boos, but there'll be a roll call.
Bring this up with every nonsense former player. Does he get a video?
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
Shame on the Yankees if we don't give him a tribute video.
Hold on a second.
No doubt about it.
The video thing is very complicated.
No, because it's not. They went to the World Series for the first time in decades.
I know, but here's my counter to this. I would play a video, too, if push comes to shove. It's complicated when most of the fan base is angry at him. I think all three of you guys, respectfully, are way off on this. All of you in very different ways are way off. Yankee fans are going to boo the crap out of him.
Where do you get the intel that the Yankee fans are angry at him?
History. Free agent leaves you. What we just heard in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Like, where do you want me to go?
Time out.
Everywhere.
Time out.
Yes.
I heard this forever, and it was so nauseous, it made me want to puke every time you guys restated it. Yankee fans don't lose. Yankees don't lose free agents they don't want.
True. So I know it makes you puke, but it's true.
So who have they lost that they booed?
Jeez, that's a great counter. You caught me in a pretzel. You're like, wait a second, Evan. You told me they never lost a free agent.
Exactly.
Robinson Cano was booed upon his return. Can we confirm that?
I think it was probably for other reasons.
I have no memory of that.
No. This was before the steroid stuff. Like, he was a former Yankee, and he got booed. I think in general, when a guy is not on your team anymore, unless it was a happy kind of breakup, which is very rare, you get booed. But you're right.
I don't think Soto was a non-happy breakup. Dude, it was just like...
Yankee fans wanted him back.
Of course, but...
They're not going to boo him?
I don't think Yankee fans were going to be... so mad at him because he took $100 million more.
They are, though.
Then that's a misguided Yankee fan.
Then they're clueless.
Right.
But okay. Do you guys not agree? And we got time before this happens, that when we are in the building on that Friday night at Yankee Stadium, it is going to be overwhelming boos. Forget about what they should do or they shouldn't do. Mm. Completely different things.
Smattering.
A smattering?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think Sean's right. Instinct is right.
You guys are nuts.
I think you're underestimating how many Yankee fans love what he gave us last year, and that's why we're so upset he's not here.
Real quick, just as a little experiment, Ray in Westchester, you're a big Yankee fan. How will you treat Juan Soto when he returns to Yankee Stadium?
I'm booing the heck out of him.
Why?
Been a Yankee fan since 1976.
Why, Ray?
Seen it all. Because he left us.
No, he didn't.
The greatest sports team in the history of sports.
Ray, hold on. He was
you
want
to go to the Mets?
He was a free agent, right?
No.
He didn't leave you.
Yeah.
He was a free agent, and he negotiated with multiple teams, including a higher bidder who didn't get him, but he negotiated, and he went someplace else. You had him for a year, Ray. Why are you booing him so badly?
Kiki, I'm going to boo him because guess what? You want to go? You're not Yankee material. You're not Yankee
style. No, he was Yankee.
Billy Martin.
Yankee. You don't even believe that. You know that that's not true.
You know you know what? He wasn't Yankee material because he didn't spend 1 year here getting knocked out in the wild card round like every other freaking year.
Whether you agree or disagree with his points, he'll be in the building and he's going to boo his ass.
Yeah, he'll be of the smattering.
It's not going to be a... We got to put something on the line here.
And you know what? And I'm going to preach it. Tommy put something in my head. The best idea, you should have led the Lou Gower with this.
What?
You boo him loudly, you give in and bend the knee to every Met fan that told you we care so much about the Mets. Yeah. You don't boo him, it's going to piss off Met fans more. Don't do it, Yankee.
Yeah, listen, we know you do care. It's just whether you outwardly do it. So if you want a covert counterstrike to the Met fan, you do the roll call, you don't boo. But let's be fair. They're not going to church before the game. They're going to be a little gassed up. So it's easy to say it now, but a couple at Billy's and stands, you're going to boo Juan Soto. So I think we're all right. Unfortunately, we can't all be right.
No,
so someone's got to be more right than the other. Everybody will boo.
Guys.
Not everybody.
Guys.
But there will be boos.
You're all so wrong. Like, ask Keith McPherson, who's in the Bleacher Creatures. Mm-hmm. Ask Bald Vinny, who's in the Bleacher Creatures, right now, on a sober day in the middle of March, would you consider giving that man a roll call and they will laugh at you? There's no way he's getting the roll call, and there's no way it's going to be a smattering.
I mean,
No way.
No way. What game did I go to? Tampa Rays. Who was their right fielder? I'm forgetting his name.
Randy Arozarena?
Arozarena. Didn't they give his ass a roll call?
Did they? What?
Because they like giving a roll call.
They're not giving it to Juan Soto.
Okay, but don't act like it's an exclusive Yankee fielder thing.
We'll come right back and get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Sean has a Cinco de Five-O list.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.